Okay, you guys, let's do this. It's going to be so professional. Okay. Like, so professional. Here we go.
Welcome to the Lab Support Podcast with your hosts, Michelle Van Dusen and June Colson, a couple of clean comedians who support each other and others through comedy's wacky and winding roads. I hope you're ready. Get set. Let's go. Since podcasts have a catchy tune, we wrote this song for Michelle and June. Clean comedians are best friends too. Oh, so good. And you never know what they'll say or do. Here we go, sing with me on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. We'll have a ball, with June, who's really tall. They have fun, interviewing comedians on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. Now it's time to start Lab Support.
The Lab Support Podcast is brought to you by the Hot Breath Comedy Network.
Welcome to the award-winning Lab Support Podcast. I'm your host, June Colson, here with my amazing friend, Michelle, with one L, Trisha's sister, Rhonda Colson, Corey's friend, don't call me Shelly, Michelle Van Dusen. Hi. It sounds like a rattlesnake. Okay, so we're a podcast. People think there's a rattlesnake on our podcast. What was that?
That was one of those little handshaker things.
A handshaker. That's the job I could do in music. I could just play a handshaker thing.
Yeah,
is that the technical like term for that musical instrument, Michelle?
No, I think it's called egg. It's just a little egg thing. It's made in Thailand. This one's called Echo, but it's the little egg shakers. So yeah, I believe that is the correct term.
Okay. So I just went to a concert called Music Amplifies.
Yeah.
And our friend Wynette Turner from, who books people on the Huckabee Show for like the comedians. And she's like the producer, like the audience producer. And anyway, she has a foundation called Music Amplifies. And there were a lot of great acts and they had a fundraiser. My friend and I went to it. And there was a lady who, that was her whole job on stage. She just had the little shaker and she just shook her shaker and her shaker. Oh, no, she sung a little bit too with her husband, but it was a great fundraiser. That was super cool to go to that. So for those of you joining us through audio only, when we started the show, I did not have myself together today. Michelle did not have herself together today. I was putting on my makeup. I was trying to put on some mascara. I'm not good at makeup. And we'll talk a little bit later about someone who was or is very good at makeup and how I got a little pampered. Whoa, my chair just dropped. I dropped so far down. I was trying to even myself up with you, Michelle.
Okay. Oh, so if you what we're saying right now is you need to actually watch us on YouTube. Find us at the Lab Support Podcast on YouTube because you will see that June just dropped like 5 inches because
and I'm still taller than you.
Yeah, you're adjusting your chair. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I was looking in the screen, like, so I can't really see myself because my camera is in the way, but I could just see my giant forehead because I do have a giant forehead. I should never pull my bangs back like that. I have always said, like, if I got famous and they made a bobblehead out of me, that they wouldn't have to change the specs, like literally my head and my eyeballs. I look like a bobblehead. I'm just a giant. I was born a bobblehead.
Your forehead is not giant. So I can do 4 fingers, like do your whole hand on your forehead. Can you do that? Yeah, you can't because your pinky covers your eyes. My pinky doesn't. See? So I have a bigger forehead than
we
you
look
do.
Like we're checking for a fever. Did that ever actually work? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Okay. So Michelle, when we were talking a little bit ago, you were bragging about having some self-control. So, you know, I think sometimes your friends ask you to do things that they don't really mean, you know, they don't really mean, but you reached out to me recently, told me to try to talk you out of something And then you tried to talk me into the thing you were telling me to talk you out of. So what happened? Yeah. What phone call did you get that you actually followed my advice and didn't do a very bad thing?
But did I though? So my friend has, she has these amazing puppies, these Cavapoos. They're little cuddle. What's a Cavapoo?
A Cavapoo?
Cavapoo. Yeah, I believe that's what it is. Cavapoo for You, I think, is the site that you can, you know, go see. And she's been breeding dogs for a very long time. But the whole point is, and she breeds, these particular dogs are bred for their temperament, for their non-shed, you know, so if you're allergic, you're fine with these kind of dogs, like that kind of stuff, right? And so it's, and for health. So they don't do the inbreeding where, you know, the dog ends up with a bunch of diseases and stuff like that. Right, so it's a very healthy process that they have. And so it's a poodle and then like a king cocker spaniel or a king. I don't know. I'm not the breeder. I have no idea. Anyway, the point is these puppies are so cute and they're ready to go home. And I went and visited them. And I brought my son. Well, actually, my son and his girlfriend brought me and Ross.
Yes.
See the puppies. And I'm holding the cutest little puppy. And what I didn't know, they put different collars on them so that they can, you know, identify which ones are which. So I'm holding this cute little orange collared little female, right? And I'm like, this is... Yes. And her temperament was perfect for me. Like, I'm like, oh, this is the dog. I'm going to get this puppy. This is the one. I'm going to get this one. And I looked at my husband like, this is the one. And I said, here, check out the orange one, you know, and hand him over. And he's like, yeah, but what about the green one? You know, so we're having this discussion. In the meantime, while my husband and I are having a discussion over orange or green, my son and his girlfriend decide that the orange one is the one they're getting. So I was
that settles it.
That settled it. That settled it right there and then. Okay, definitely not coming home. But then I'm thinking, well, since he's living with us right now for a short time, I thought, well, it'd be good to have two puppies at the house. Like, that would be good. He'd have a friend. So I was considering.
Mm-hmm.
And but it still wasn't the orange one, you know? I'm like, it's okay. Because the orange one will be here. Anyway, and I was going against what I wanted originally, because what I told myself a few years ago, when the dog that we had, when she passed,
yes,
was a very large dog. And now these Cavapoos, they're going to get up to maybe 20 pounds, 25, but just, you know, you can't really, it's a medium sized dog. Our dog was large. And, I thought, nope, next time I'm going to get something that's going to be one of those little pocket poodles or pocket puppy or something, you know, something tiny. And so that's that. So I said, no, I can't take this puppy, you know, and I'm going to hold out and just wait because, you know, they'll have more litters and stuff as the, and when I'm ready.
Speaking of puppies, listen to Reginald, how rude.
He's ready to join our podcast.
Of your puppy conversation. Yeah. Well, I just thought it was interesting that you like called me and you wanted me to talk you out of getting a dog. Yeah. And then you sent me like 15 Marcos telling me why you needed that dog.
They're so cute. You have to go on their website. You got to go look at like on Facebook and go look at the Cavapoos for You. And these puppies are so cute.
Well, their little all puppies are cute. All puppies are cute.
Well, even their adult dogs. Anyway, they're just,
Well, I'm proud of you for saying no and making a wise decision. I love dogs. I love my dog. But Michelle, the drama over the cat that you had in your house for so long was more than I could handle. Nope.
I'm not a cat person. I'm not a cat person. So the fact that that was even still in our house and it's like, well, it's okay. It's going to go to college. It's going to go to college.
Not a cat person. Yet you did videos. You played with it. You dressed the cat up. You talked about it all the time. But not a cat person.
I'm not a cat person. And the oven mitts were the best things ever because then I could play with the cat and not get hurt. So that was the best gift. So thank you for that. But anyway, one of the main things is why we're not getting a puppy because I just babysat my grandbaby the other day and I realized I cannot have two human, two living beings in my house at the same time that are teething, you know, or biting on things. Like, I can't do that. So, you know, so
both of them will chew up your shoes, babies and puppies. It's just not good. Hey, so how do you feel about insects?
Oh, well, I don't like them. I don't like them. I mean, they're very important for our environment and things like that. Yeah. And I do have to say that I think this episode that we're watching today is going to make you buzz with laughter. But other than that, I don't know. I'm not big on insects. I'm really not.
Yeah. What about bees and June bugs? How do you feel about bees and June bugs?
Okay. So, well, bees and June bug, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you call a bee that can't quit talking?
Michelle, we're not doing the dumb jokes. We're not doing this early.
This early, because of your question. What do you call a bee that can't quit talking?
I don't know what.
A blabba bee. Because, you know.
No. Stop it. No. Okay. The reason why we're bringing up bees and June bugs is because I, Michelle, recently had the opportunity to record with the one and only Killer Bees.
Ooh. Killer Bees.
What? Pretty amazing, huh? Killer Bees is a comedy veteran. He is absolutely one of the funniest people on the planet. And when I tell you that I fell in love with him and his family, on this project, I was fortunate to be able to be a part of the Comedy Buzz project. Oh, there he is. Look how handsome. He's so handsome. That is Killer Bees. Yes. So Killer Bees has recorded a series for Amazon Prime, and it was filmed in three different locations. They were in Huntsville, Alabama. Mm-hmm. They were at Zany's in Nashville, and then the Stardome in Birmingham. And so I got to be in the last part of the recording. So basically they had seven comedians, I believe, on each of the recordings. They did two recordings in each city. Wow. So 7 times 2 is 14, and then 14 at three different locations. So anyway, they had
tax and your percentage and don't forget your tips. And
yeah, we're not doing math here. So,
like 500 comics.
Yes, I got to be at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama. And our friend Rhonda Corey, she was on one of the recordings at Zany's in Nashville. Our friend Lee Harden, Haas Ridgeway, all of these friends, all of these have been on episodes of the Laugh Support podcast. Haas was on the Huntsville recording, Dan Whitehurst, which is a friend of ours, just so many super cool comedians and friends of ours were a part of this project. So right now they're in, I guess, post-production, I guess is what you would call it.
Post-production. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where they're doing all the editing, putting it together. And what was cool about it is that each location, they recorded podcast episodes as well. So basically while they had all of these comedians together in one location, they spent the morning of the recording for those folks. You spent the morning doing podcast recordings with them. And then they served you lunch, gave you plenty of time to go back to your hotel, get some rest, get cleaned up, and then come back that evening to record the show at whatever location it was at.
How early was the podcast? Because I'm thinking, like, you're going to have two different vocals. You're going to have the morning. Mm-hmm. Vocal of so good morning. Yeah, so I'm doing comedy.
Yeah, I heard you on Marco this morning.
Yeah.
Michelle sends a Marco to me and Rhonda. This is a Rhonda Colson Corey moment. Michelle records a Marco this morning. It's like dark. You can just kind of see your face. You're like, good morning. This is my voice. Like, Michelle, how long have you been smoking? Like, it was very gruff. It wasn't like the sexy voice, the smoky, sultry voice. It was just the smoky voice is what you gave us this morning.
Yep. That's secondhand smoke from, you know, when I was a child up until I think my mom actually smoked while she was pregnant with me. Like, I think that's my height issue. That or genetics. It's one of the two.
You think so? That's what made you short. My dad smoked 3 packs of Marlboro Reds a day. 3 packs a day. So yeah, I probably started smoking in the womb as well. And it didn't stunt my growth.
Did you love, you know, being in the car and all the windows are rolled up? It's just,
oh yeah, yeah. But for like our vehicle, we'll get back to killer bees in just a second, but our vehicle, we had no floorboard. It was rusted out. We have this station wagon and we would drive to Indiana and there would be like 12 inches of snow on the ground. We would be going down these backcountry roads. The snow would be flipping up into the back seat where me and my brother and my sister were like curled up and hunkered up together as dad was playing his cassette tapes of Marlboro Country. Yes, Marlboro Country hits. It was the Marlboro actually produced music. And we played that cassette over and over. It had songs like Roll On Highway, Roll On Along, 18-wheeler. It was a lot of Oak Ridge Boys and, you know, that type of thing. And he would smoke. He would chain smoke the whole time with a case of beer in his console. And we would get to my grandma's. And we're coughing and hacking and stuff. And she'd be like, I think they have an immune system issue. And I'm like, no, we just spent 5.5 hours on the road, 8 degrees in the backseat, snow on our legs with dad chain smoking Marlboros. But, you know, on a positive note, all those Marlboro miles, Michelle, those where you took the
Did you get your college degree from that? Like, is that what happened?
I did not get my college degree from that, but we did get a whole lot of gear, like blankets and jackets. Dad got the Marlboro guitar because you could turn in Marlboro miles into their catalog. And then you would purchase things. So we have all these, we had Lucky Horseshoes. But the best part, Michelle, the best part was my prom dress. Yeah, I was smoking hot. Okay.
So
my dumb joke to counter your dumb joke.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. It's you love dumb jokes as much as I do. You love the punny. So don't even. So okay. I also had the station wagon with the rusted out part in the back, and we would sit in the back and we could watch the traffic come at us, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then exhaust would come up inside the thing and we would drop things down and it was so much fun. It was, yeah.
Well, the positive part about the exhaust coming up in there is you just got a really good nap on the way to wherever you were going.
Exactly. You were very calm. You didn't eat Benadryl or wine. You're just, let's take the kids for a ride. I think that's why they would always take, you know, oh, the baby's crying, get them in the car.
Right. That was us. That's so messed up. I'm writing this down. This is going to be a new bit. The baby in the car. That's so morbid. And I love it. Okay. So back to the podcast. 9 o'clock in the morning, we would go and do, you would do the podcast, or actually you met at 9 o'clock in the hotel lobby. Teresa, Killer Bee's wife, phenomenal human being and a doll baby. Listen, I mean, that lady is a doll. Anyway, she well organized, everything was just laid out, you know, brought us in, explained to us what the layout was going to be for the evening. And then they shuttled us over to, for us, it was the Stardome. For Rhonda, she was in Nashville. I got to go and hang out with her while she did her recording, which was fun to be able to go and see the production before I was a part of the production. Was pretty awesome.
You do that a lot, June. I've noticed, like, you do your research, like before you did Huckabee, you would go and watch other comedians do it. Like I've noticed. And I think that is so smart. And I think that's one of those things, like if you're going to, you want to start doing comedy and you want to go to an open mic, you don't want to just go and be on the open mic right away. You want to go and observe and watch a couple of times and go, okay, I kind of get the idea of it. And then that's what I love about that, about you.
Yeah.
Check it out and you're ready. Then you're prepared. So I love that.
Yeah. Sometimes open mic wise, I'll just go. But definitely, if I have an opportunity or if I've been booked for a show and it's a reoccurring show, and I have the opportunity to go check it out before I do it, you know, I think it can be a smart thing, but also for me, it's a comfort thing. you know, in yeah. comedy, there's a lot of unknowns. You have no idea. You just go into a lot of places blind. But if I can go in and know what's up and have a little background information on where I'm at, it just helps me have a better set and it helps ease my anxiety. And yeah. so, yeah. So, so I did, I watched Rhonda in Nashville. I think they took them actually to a recording studio because Zany's is a small club. The Stardome, huge, like huge. It's set up like a, almost like a Vegas showroom. Oh, wow. It has that theater vibe to it. It's larger. The room is larger, which was kind of intimidating. I was like, man, I would have loved to have been in Zany's in Nashville because that's right in my back door. But it worked out great that I was at the Stardome.
You didn't send any pictures of the Stardome. I didn't get to see that vibe because the pictures that you posted and that we got to see yeah. were the stage or the green room. So
you can Google, you can look at the Stardome online. You can check it out. Yeah, but yeah, it was such a cool vibe. I had a moment, Michelle. I had a moment. I mean, I've forgiven Killer Bees. I love him. I still love him. But I was actually booked to do the warm up the night before my recording. So they do two nights in a row, and I was doing warm up right mm-hmm. on the first night. I believe it was a Friday and then a Saturday night. So, or maybe not. I don't know what day of the week it was. It doesn't matter. So I was booked to do the warm-up. I was backstage, which was awesome because the only way you're backstage is if you're on that show. There is, you know, you've got production crews that are going. Bruce headed up, a guy named Bruce headed up the whole video production of it. Him and mm-hmm. his crew were phenomenal. I mean, yeah. I'm talking, there was not a person I encountered that was on the Comedy Buzz production that was not just super fun, professional, kind, and such a positive vibe. And this was all about clean comedy. So Killer Bees is producing, it's a clean comedy series. And so I was going to get to have, talking about seeing something before you do it, I was going to get to warm up the crowd the mm-hmm. night before I was on the stage to do the show. So I was going to have the feeling, right? Get on there, see what it felt like to be on that stage, do a set, run what I was about to do the next night.
So that was so Wednesday, back, right? That was Wednesday. Isn't this the list of comedians?
Oh, yeah. I was on Wednesday. That's right. That's right. So yeah, that's the list. So you had Drew Davis, me, Junebug. We marked down my last name because it was a setup for my first joke because Killer Bees was introducing June Bug. And so it just gave me a setup for the first joke that I did.
Yeah,
Roger Kice, Killer Bees, obviously. Roscoe Nash was on there. Roscoe is a friend of ours. I met him through the Clean Comedy Challenge in 2020, which was mm-hmm. the year that I won it. And listen, Roscoe is one of those people that, you know, like, when you're in a competition, you go, how did I beat that dude? Like, I don't know. But that's my self-deprecating. Like, I don't know. But obviously that was in God's plan that year for that to be, you know, a positive thing in my life that I got to do the Clean Comedy Challenge. And mm-hmm. it gave me a connection with Roscoe. So I believe Roscoe won it in 2022, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And so it was really fun to spend time with him. And actually, marking out the Colson and putting Bug on there had to do with a conversation I had with Roscoe the day before. Cause like me, Roscoe came in early because he just likes to chill out and be in the space where he's going to be, which I think is a great idea. And so we spent some time just talking in the lobby and I was bouncing around the idea of my opening, how I was going to open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say Roscoe really like helped me solidify how I wanted to do it because I ran out him. And then he was like, "Ooh, don't let him say June Colson, have him say June Bug," which is what I go by in comedy anyway. So yeah, it was kind of the official first time I was introduced as June Bug. And that's really who I am. So that was super exciting.
Your whole marketing is June Bug and you've been June Bug all your whole life. So it's a wise decision. And I love that it sets up your first joke. So that's really good. Cause a lot of times if I have someone, like they put my name up on screen behind me and it's spelled wrong, that sets up a joke that I do. So, yeah. Anyway, so so you had Roscoe and then yes. Jody White.
Jody White, listen. Okay, I have a picture, or she's the other girl on the show, female, woman. I'm woman, hear me roar. Oh my gosh.
There's Jody.
That look, first of all, she's gorgeous. And that pink too. I almost wore that color pink. So I'm glad I didn't, because she was rocking it. Her, so kind. Absolutely one of the sweetest people. And so talented, so funny. I mean, yeah. She just came out there and wrecked the room. There was a table up front, and it was one of those tables. You know, they're at a video production. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I'm telling you, that crowd was hot. They were fun. And there was that one table up front that just refused to smile. They just kind of, you know, whatever, were dismissive to every comic that came up there. And when I tell you, she went at them in a way that there was no way they were not going to laugh. And she won them over. Of all the comics in the room, she won them over. It was really super fun to see. But so most of the shows, there was one girl on the show, I think.
Wow. So yours had two. That's pretty good.
We had two, which was fun. Really, and then maybe there was one other show that had two women on there. Yeah. So it's always fun. You know, I love to work with anybody, everybody, but it's really fun to work with another female on a lineup, mm-hmm. you know, and especially one that's as amazingly talented that she is. Jason Salmon, I am telling you, brilliant. That dude's a brilliant writer. And that's not in the comics way of saying, oh, you're a really good writer, as if you're not a good performer. Because, you know, sometimes that's insulting, don't you think?
I've never actually thought that as an insult until some other people started saying that was an insult. And I was like, really? And I was like, oh, I guess that could be taken. It's kind of like, bless your heart. It's it could be taken as an insult, or it is an insult, or it's really someone saying blessing. So it's that come and go. It's kind of like aloha, hello, and aloha, goodbye. You know, it's the dual. Okay. So, you know.
Okay. Well, I would tell you, super talented Doug Williams is the one who wrapped up the show.
Yeah.
And he was just rocking. It was so much fun. That's but awesome. A lot of craziness happened. So the first night I was supposed to do the crowd warm up, I was backstage. There was some Nashville comedians that were on that show that was fun to be around. There was a comedian named Mike James, who I met through our friend Bone Hampton. So that night I was supposed to do the warm up, and I was standing by the curtain with Killer Bees. He explains to me, I'll let him know, because I was doing check drop. So basically I was just there to keep people entertained while they drop the checks, so that they didn't interrupt the production, distract people, or anything like that. So I was doing check drop before the last two comedians. So myself, Joby Sad, who's a friend of ours, standing beside me, I'm going up during check drop, then Joby. So Bees is talking to me about, like, I'll explain to him what you're doing and how you're, you know, who you are and how you'll be on the show tomorrow night, yada, yada, yada. And then he walks out on stage. He walks out on stage, give it up for whoever the comic was before. The next comic coming up is from Nashville, Tennessee, blah, blah, blah. And he starts introducing Joby. And Joby's looking at me, and I'm looking at Joby, and Joby's like, what is he doing? And I go, well, maybe he's just saying that, and then he's going to say, but first, we're going to do check drop. You know, like, maybe that's what he's saying. That was not what he was saying. Michelle, he forgot me. He forgot me. I was like, listen, I am a middle child. And now the Killer Bees production, the comedy buzz is responsible for a lot of therapy for me, because I was forgotten.
Well, I think what you should have done is you should have done something along the lines of how this guy is. He's like, hey, I'm here.
Yes, that's Jordan Jackson. So we're looking at a picture of Jordan Jackson. He is like he's huge on social media. Amazingly funny.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like JJ Walker, right? Dynamite. Yeah. Like he plays into that. It's super fun to watch him. one of the most positive people that I think I've ever met, and just someone who is not the competing comic, but the lifting other people up. And he's doing a lot of things right. He is just nationally touring, maybe even internationally. Just getting to know him a little bit on that production. He is just one that just really is the type that pours into other people. And he did, I got to watch him do the warm-up maybe in Nashville and then be part of the recording in Nashville. Then he did warm-up the night that I was recording. And, you know, Killer Beast didn't forget him. Actually, okay, so I'll say he didn't forget me. At the other shows, it just depended on where they were recording when the check drop was going to happen. So he just got things out of sequence. Yeah. So at this point, there is no point in me going out because they actually did the check drop while Joby was recording. And so then it just became a joke. It just became like, because, you know, for a second I was like, oh, like, and then I thought, you know, I had people in the audience to watch me that night and then I never showed up. So I thought they probably think I had a panic attack. I've like passed out, or I'm more likely they probably thought, what did she do stupid that got her fired? Like, student did something really dumb and now she's been fired. So I didn't get to do that, but we made a lot of jokes about it.
Oh, nice.
And it just became okay. And so, okay. So over my shoulder here, we're looking at a picture. I can't see the whole thing, but I see Sky Beasley. That's Killer Bee's son.
Okay.
Skyler. When I tell you, he is hilarious. Dude, is his social media post, like, you know how some people, like, there are just some people who post things that full on, like, you really do laugh. That dude is so funny. And he was about to go to a concert for a group called Mac Sabbath. With people, and he was showing me pictures of them. I'm telling you, I fell in love with this dude. Because Mac Sabbath, Michelle, Mac Sabbath is like this crazy band that all dresses up like characters from McDonald's. And like, I think he said the lead singer grills hamburgers during the concert. And that's who this dude was going to see. He was going to see Mac Sabbath. And I was like, you wait until you see my closer. Because first of all, I'm obsessed with weird things like that anyway. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know how I closed my bit out. And I go, but you're going to see why I like that even more.
Oh my gosh.
For those who haven't watched me before,
Wait, you can't. You don't spoil it. I think what they need to do for them to see the closer is then they need to, when this comes out, when this is going to be out on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So when this comes out, they need to watch it. They need to watch. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say that there's a major McDonald's element.
Okay.
To how I close out.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So good. There's a major McDonald's element to how I close out. What are we seeing? Okay. So that's Killer Bees getting pretty. Of course I was in the chair ready for makeup, but, he's much more important than me. So,
I know you can't see this, but in the front part of the picture, there's a whole little glass clear thing.
Oh, that's the only part I can see. Those are makeup sponges.
Yeah, but it looks like my little shaker.
It does. It looks the same. So, you're right.
I think now I can go ahead and put makeup on with the shaker.
Yes. So we had people driving us. We stayed in a nice hotel. They served us a delicious lunch, and then we had makeup, hair and makeup. And so that was Jamie that was doing Killer Beast makeup. I'm going to show you. She gave me real lipstick, Michelle.
Ooh.
I don't know what I'm going to do when I run out, but she gave me a real.
We can see the.
I don't know why I did that. I've seen like people.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. Yeah. Roll it so we can see the brand.
Oh, I don't even know if it has the name.
What's the V? What's it say? It's a V.
I don't know. I can't.
It is in French. It is.
I think it just says cosmetics, but it's with a K and an X or something, or a backwards K. Anyway, okay. The cosmetics. Either way, it's about the fact that while she was doing my makeup, I shared about my expensive face regimen
from Dollar General store
makeup.
Dollar store.
Oh, Dollar Store and Dollar Tree. Like everything on my face is super cheap. Except for
not a sponsor. Those are unofficial sponsors. But if you are watching every time, that is what June looks like with Dollar Tree and Dollar Store makeup. So if you want to be a sponsor, more than welcome to. You can make this face look as good as that one.
Well, at the end of like the, after she did my makeup the second day, she did my hair and makeup the first day for no reason because I never went on stage.
But you look good. You look good. But now here's the thing. From my perspective, looking at this picture of you on stage, I think your makeup looks great. So.
Well, yeah, she did. She did it. And my lipstick is amazing. Right. Right. But when we got done, So in the first day, I didn't bring eyelashes or whatever. And so the next day when I was actually recording, she went and bought eyelashes for me. I love eyelashes. I just can't put them on myself. Like I'm so bad at it. So she got me eyelashes and she gave me this tube of lipstick, like real lipstick,
which is very cool.
You know, not dollar store lipstick. And I love it. I love this lipstick. I'm going to cry when I'm out of it, but I'm also too cheap to buy another tube. So, you know, it is what it is.
So are you wearing the eyelashes in this picture?
Yes. Yeah. Look at those big old eyeballs. My big old June bug eyeballs.
Yep. Those look nice. And then see, you can totally see your eyes from way back here. Okay. Is this the front table? The blonde right there? Is that the one that you were talking about?
Oh, no, no, no. You can't, you can't see the front table. That's actually, I'm pretty sure that's somebody who was with the production, Jody. I think that's Jody. If I can, I'm trying to see it from here. They were like three Jodys that were a part of the production. And so that was super cool. But when I tell you that like everybody from, so Jamie's husband took care of all the lighting, the stage, like all of that. He was amazing. And Jamie was just super kind. And you know, you spend a lot of, when you're in a makeup chair with someone and they're doing your hair and your makeup, it's very obviously hands-on. This is somebody who's touching your hair and your face. And she was just the sweetest person and helped kind of calm me. Because when you're doing that, you know, you're gearing up. You're about to do the big show. But speaking of the lighting, so the night, Michelle, the night that I went on, right before, this is the final production, right?
Yeah.
Right before we get ready to get started, a massive storm.
Oh no.
Comes up, right? Christy Condor, one of my best friends in comedy. We've had Chrissy on the show before. Nashville Comics. She drove all the way from Nashville to Birmingham, Alabama, just for my set. Oh,
that's
and
not
then Chrissy. Drove back in a hailstorm.
Wow.
Yes. So no, I didn't get a picture of Christy because she literally rolled in, watched my set, and then drove back in a hailstorm back to Nashville because she had something she had to be back for. And so right before I go up, the lights are flickering. Like the first comic that goes up, Drew Davis, it's the storm is coming up and there's a stage light that has a faulty wire or something. And it starts flickering during his set. There was a heckler at the front, right? There was just all of these things that were like happening at the beginning of the production. And I remember standing backstage and like my brain was like, okay, so they had to reset everything basically. They came out and reset the stage light, removed the one that wasn't working right. And at this point, like I'm getting ready to walk out and you can just hear boom, boom. Like the thunder is just going off.
It wasn't just thunderous applause for you. Like
it was
June bug.
That's what it was. They were stomping and clapping and but I mean, I remember looking at the curtains, right? And it, like just kind of standing back there and I always pray before I go on stage. I pace, I pray, I pee, and I praise. And I had to just tell myself, yes, I pace around. I can't stand still. I pray. I have to go pee because I have a nervous bladder.
Do you do that before? You're not doing all these things at the same time, right? Sometimes. Like you pee first and then you pace and praise and
I'm pacing. Pray. And yeah. I pray, and then I go pee, and then I praise. So I pray. So I sing a praise song, like, for two reasons. One, just vocally, like, it's warming up your vocal cords before you go out. And then the other is, I always sing the, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my yeah. soul rejoice. This is why, because it says, take joy, my King, in what you hear, mm-hmm. and let it be a sweet sound to your ear.
It's a good song.
Yeah. And that's what gives me peace. So I just remind myself, like, I just want to make a sweet sound to his ear. People won't always receive what we're giving them. You know, we go out and we offer this gift of laughter to them. Sometimes they don't get us. Sometimes they don't want to. Sometimes people are in just such a dark place, or sometimes they're stubborn, like the people at the front table who just refuse to laugh. And you can't focus on that. You've got to focus on the purpose that God sent you there for. And the people in the room that are receiving that gift, you know, because clearly you're there for them. And so I had to, like, reset my brain and not, you know, because the enemy was like, oh no, they had to move some lady from up front. Oh no, they've had to stop the show. Oh no, the light wasn't working. What if it doesn't work with you? You know, like, your brain is, like, doing all of that, and you can either, like, allow that to take control, or you can just pray and go, okay, God, like, whatever happens, it's now on you. And a lot of times, literally before I go out, my brain just goes blank. It just, I'll have that voice in my head that goes, what are we gonna say? Like, scared to death, I'm gonna forget everything. But when I say, I don't know how it'll translate on video. I have seen a little sneak peek of myself. I feel like I look like I weigh 4 billion pounds, and I'm just have to get over that. That's just part, that's part of a production, I guess. And just seeing yourself on camera and that kind of thing, it's a lot to process. But no matter what it looks like in post-production, I can tell you, I was absolutely blessed to be on that show. The set felt good. The audience was just on fire. And I had an amazing time, and I got to meet people afterwards. I got to connect with people in such a positive way. So Michelle showing the picture of the Comedy Buzz with everybody who was on the show together. Yeah.
Just that's a talented stage right there of all your all the people that you got. Which is,
well, and let me brag on Drew Davis real quick, because, and on the production and Killer Bees and Terry and everybody involved in that, the stage light was funky during his set. And so they kind of switched it up, and about midway through the show, they gave him an opportunity to go back out, do another 7 or 10 minutes. I can't remember how much, because they wanted to be sure that he was represented well, and that this light and all of that stuff, that they didn't have to edit or cut things down to a point where there wasn't a good set for him. And when I tell you, like, my brain, if that would have been me and they were like, okay, we're gonna have you come out and just do some more, well, I'm so calculated, so planned out, so specific about what material I want to do, that would have wrecked my world. And Drew was just like, oh, time to do more comedy. And literally, I mean, they gave him some time. He probably had a good 30 minutes or so to just kind of formulate what it was he was going to do.
Yeah.
But there were other comedians that were on that show that were like, God, that was him, not me. Because we were all like,
plus you have the same audience, and now they have to listen to the exact same joke.
Same jokes.
He did different
material, Michelle. That's what I'm saying. Wow. He just took other material he had, and he went back out. Bees went out and was like, hey, this is what happened. You know, you guys have been amazing. Let's just give that same energy to him now. And so the audience just stayed in it with him, and he got to do another set. And so now they have more material able to edit together for his set.
How long were your sets?
15. So all the each set was 15 minutes.
Yeah. So a 30 minute set, which is cool. Okay. Yeah. Now, who are these people that are these?
Who are these beautiful ladies? So Leslie Norris Townsend and Michelle Krajewski, they came out to watch the production, And but that was the night I was supposed to be doing warm up, so they didn't see me. But we did get to hug each other after the show and talk about how that show business. And that's what happens sometimes. You know, sometimes things happen. And I would tell you, like, in the moment, you have to make a decision when things go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I was looking forward to doing that. So there was this moment of like, wait, what? I don't get it, dude. Because that's what we want to do. We want to do comedy. And I had hair. I had makeup. I was wearing the same outfit that night that I was going to wear the next night because they were going to record it and then just have extra footage of me, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of that ended very abruptly. Yeah. And so I had a moment where I was like, oh, kind of deflated. And then after that, it was like, yeah, whatever, you know, like it just became something to laugh about. But I did make a lot of jokes about being left behind, being forgotten, and being the middle child. And when I tell you the next day after breakfast, I was riding with Terry, Killer Bee's wife, who was just phenomenal running the whole production. Mm-hmm. I helped her carry some stuff to her car because I was going to ride with her over to the Stardome. And we got the stuff in the trunk of her car and we had it on a cart. And I said, mm-hmm. I'll run this back in the hotel. And so I take the cart and I run it back into the hotel. And then when I come back out, Michelle, she was gone. Like, did they forgive me again? Did they leave me again?
So basically, you did jokes about being left behind. So yes. I'm not sure if it was, you know, this life or the rapture. Like, when did you decide, like, I'm going to go all church jokes? And
yes, no, I didn't do. I was just making backstage jokes about being left behind. Oh, none of that's on stage. But yeah, so the production was amazing. I'm not sure when it's going to come out. You know, it takes a few months to get all of that mm-hmm. edited and packaged the way they want to. I do know that they have plans on doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'm going to be on some episodes of that. There's a good shot that that's going to happen. And outside of the podcast that they recorded while we were there. So that's going to be one podcast that goes along with the Comedy Buzz actual Amazon special. But then they are working on doing basically a clean comedy, like a positive podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be, you know, more episodes in a different format. So,
I'm thinking like, who do I submit to, like, what I think would be a great cover photo for their Killer Bee's, Amazon
Michelle
Prime.
Don't do it.
Oh,
Michelle,
I'm totally doing it. It needs to be. Oh,
okay.
Person.
Okay. I thought you were going to do the crazy Huckabee picture you used to show all the time of me going, ah!
No. I think this one, because it shows the Killer Bees, killerbuzz.com, the Killer Bees thing. I think that would be great, personally, to
thank you so much.
Make that.
My makeup looks
like
great.
This one is not good.
There it is. Triple chin, flared finger, June bug. That's my favorite. It's hard not to look at that and think, wow, that girl.
Here's a picture of Christy that showed up. So
yes. Okay. So that's Christy Collender. She's my comedy twin. People confuse us for each other all the time. And if you're going to be confused as someone else, then let it be someone as amazing as Christy Collender. And it was so much fun because I had someone to call, a comedian to call that was sitting in the audience watching me. And when I called her, this is the kind of friends you need in comedy, guys. This is the kind of friends you need in comedy. When I called her, you know, you are on that high. You are so hyped up and excited about what just happened.
Yeah.
And I called to check on her because I'm worried about her driving in the storm. And she didn't even care about the storm. Aww. She just, like, as soon as I said, hey, girl, she's like, oh, my gosh, you did so good. You know, and she was just, she was just living it with me. She was so excited for me and was there and, like, witnessed, you know, the whole event and the set and all of that. And, like, that's priceless. It's probably, you know, we can't show up for each other everywhere all the time. But when we get to do that for each other, man, it's amazing. And I will tell you, I beyond blessed, beyond honored to have been a part of that, but even more to just get to connect with people like Killer Bees and Terry and Jamie and Bruce and crazy Skylar Sky Beasley and and learn about Max Sabbath. And I could talk. We're already at 49 minutes, so I'm going to cut this off.
Yeah, because we need to get to the next thing.
We will update people as we find out when the production is coming out. And the hope is that we will have Killer Bees on the show, on the Lab Support podcast in the near future. So we'll keep you updated on that. So that's it. Yeah. Make sure that you guys are keeping your eyes out on Amazon Prime. I'm at the Stardome. It's the final episode. And I do a Talladega Nights joke, which was such a gift because I was literally like right down the road from Talladega. Yeah. So that was super fun. Super fun. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to wrap this sucker up. Michelle.
You got to do June's tip of the week.
Okay. So we're going to do tip. Michelle's wanting to do a tip of the week. This is something I'm doing right now and I'll let you know how it goes. I'm getting stickers. I'm doing like Junebug comedy stickers to have on my merch table.
Okay.
And basically, it's going to have my website. And so that's going to be a way that I connect with people at my show. So basically, I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. I've talked to a couple different comedians. Some comedians just have like a little basket and they're like, if you want a sticker, throw a couple bucks or whatever you feel mm-hmm. like, whatever into the basket, grab you a sticker. If you don't have any money for a sticker, that's fine. Just grab one and go.
This is Nicole Miller's, the OKS mom. She has a sticker but I think hers are like a dollar each.
Yeah. Some people, that's what I said. Some people do different things with them. For me, it's a matter of like, if you want to pay for a sticker, that's fine. I'll have a basket, throw a couple mm-hmm. bucks in there, whatever you feel led to throw in there. If you don't, just come by and show me that you followed me on Instagram. Come by and show me you followed me on Facebook or Instagram, social media platform, and you can have one for free. And so that gets you followers, that gets you connected with people, and they're super duper duper cheap. I know there's a lot of different places out there that you can order them from. My friend Lee Harden, I think my friend Christy, several of them use a site called Sticker Mule, I think, like M-U-L-E, Mule. Mm-hmm. Either way, just look it up. Yeah. You can find one. But that's my tip of the week for your table. I think
that's a great tip. And it makes so much more sense. Because when you said stick it to them, like my tip of the week is stick it to them. I'm like, are you going to just be ragging on somebody? But you're like, no. Stickers.
No.
I'm like, okay. All right. I think that's a great way to get your face out there. Now, are you going to, for your sticker, are you going to actually have your face? Because I know some people have their face on their stickers. Or are you just going to do like your logo or you're not quite sure yet?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to work on that this afternoon. So once I figure it out, I'm sure, Michelle, that I'll send you like three different samples and have you help me figure out which one to do. But yeah, so that's my tip of the week is stick it to them. And Michelle, as much as I do not want to introduce the last segment, because I kind of feel like you've already met this quota, but whatever. I'm going to end with letting you guys know that Jesus and Junebug loves you. And Michelle, go ahead with Michelle's joke of the week.
Okay. So June, if you were holding a bee in your hand, what is in your eye?
I don't know, Michelle.
Beauty. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh my gosh. You're fired. You're fired. In this episode, we're done. We're done.
Bye. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Go ahead and check us out on all the podcast places. And if you want to watch it, check us out on YouTube. And then make sure you're following June at Junebug Comedy. And you can see if you can follow me at Michelle's Comedy. So thank you for listening. Have a great week. Woo!